In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Glorious now, we press toward glory. I was wondering this week, how many people, when they pray the words, Thy kingdom come, think only in terms of the return of Christ on the last day. You know, as you often hear those words meaning something is going to continue until kingdom come, meaning the last day. And certainly faith is, as we say in the Creed, always looking for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But the kingdom of God is more than that. As it comes to us Christians, even now, and through us to the world. Martin Luther, in his large catechism, had the shortest definition of the kingdom of God you could ask for. He defines the kingdom of God, quote, in two ways. First, here in time through the word and faith, and secondly, in eternity forever. Today's gospel is concerned mainly about that first way, what the kingdom of God is right now, here in time. What does it mean to live in the kingdom of God today, right here, right now? First and foremost, Luther would have us say, and so the Bible too, the kingdom of God is faith. Living by faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. And so the kingdom of God happens in us and comes to us only through the hearing of the word of God. As St. Paul the Apostle says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. The kingdom of God is living by faith. Today we hear Jesus saying in his Sermon on the Mount that faith makes us to be like salt and light. It is through us, through our new life in Christ, that the kingdom of God operates in the world today. When we pray for the world, when we speak of God's commands and truth, it is, as Luther says, excuse all the Luther today, that it may gain approbation and adherence among other people and proceed with power throughout the world, that many may find entrance into the kingdom of grace, be made partakers of redemption, being led thereto by the Holy Spirit. In other words, evangelism. Bringing the invitation of the gospel to other people in hopes that they too will hear and believe and be saved. Of course, we know that the fallen, sinful nature in all of us tries to block the Holy Spirit and doesn't want anything to do with God. On the one hand, then, like salt, we regain the good flavor of faith, God's word and God's kingdom. On the other hand, however, when people reject God's word, our words of invitation become more like putting salt on a wound. For God's condemning word remains for all who reject him. When we live our lives in the kingdom of God, then it is also that you are the light of the world. How so? Jesus says, mainly by your good works. You know, there was great controversy in the early days of the Lutheran confession, the evangelical confession in the days of the Reformation, for the Roman Church thought and even spread the false rumor about us that when we evangelicals, we Lutherans, say a person is saved by faith alone, we mean to object to any role or any effect of our good works altogether. And so we have been pressed to shine the light of God's word to help people see the truth that while good works are not a cause of faith to salvation, you can't truly possess faith or salvation without it being shown forth as light in good works. I often say our good works are such a natural product of true faith that most of the time Christians do good works without even thinking about it. We're certainly not keeping a record of them since we're not saved by such a list, but by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. But now, what are those works? It is also false that because we are saved by faith alone in Christ alone, that means that the law or the prophets and the Old Testament or the Ten Commandments no longer apply. There's a big difference between that kind of abolishing God's law and the fulfilling of it. I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, says Jesus, but to fulfill them. Now, do the Ten Commandments still apply? Some still hold sway even in the world, as with the law of the land that says it is wrong to commit murder. Others, however, seem to have eroded away, maybe even have disappeared altogether. The first table of the law, requiring rejection of idols, the increase of cursing and misusing God's name, or how about the widespread rejection of church attendance? And then there are the commands to lead a sexually pure and decent life. Where did that go? To not steal, to not tell lies about our neighbor. Until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. What is that accomplishment and when does it happen? The most important accomplishment of God's law, of course, the most important, was when Jesus became the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for sin, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, the Isaac bound to the altar of sacrifice there on Calvary, taking all sin, the sin of the whole world, of everyone, into his sacrificial death, where by his holiness he made that sufficient atonement. There on the cross, the law and the prophets were not abolished, but were all fulfilled, completed. In Jesus' word, it is finished. Now, as the bronze serpent of Moses' day lifted overhead, that all who look in faith to the crucified Son of God see the complete forgiveness of all their sins, their redemption and release from the old condemnation of the law. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But now, the fulfillment of the law does not abolish the law. The fulfillment is that now by faith in Christ and the forgiveness of our sins, we are made by the Holy Spirit to be able to keep God's commands. We are made able because we no longer are keeping God's commands in order to be saved. That's not how that happens. It's not earning God's favor. No, we are made able because through our keeping of God, though our keeping of God's law is never perfect, when we fail, it doesn't mean we fall from our salvation. We are saved by faith in Christ as our justification. This faithful living according to God's law is called sanctification, living, holy living, and it's never quite perfect. Now, what about the world we live in? The temptations to relax one of the least of these commandments, teaching others to do the same, diminish us. We lose our saltiness. We put our light under a basket. We hide our faith. On the one hand, whoever meditates, prays, and lives God's commands and teaches them is great in the kingdom, because we're proving our salt and letting our light shine before others to the benefit of our neighbor. This is the true righteousness of the kingdom. Not a slavish way of the law, hoping to earn a reward, but the freedom and release of sin, open now to God's guidance and blessing according to his word. Lord, in faith we say, I love your law. Yes, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, the kingdom that has no end. But we also live now as members of that kingdom, boldly confessing before the world the truth that thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness, glorious now, we press toward glory, and our lives and hopes, our hopes confess. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.